Hello, welcome to Catherine Lerma's Guide to Land.
Hi, this is Catherine Lerma, and welcome to the next edition of my podcast, Catherine Lerma's Guide to Life. So, this podcast is all about my fell pony Merlin and how I'm getting on with his training. So, I got Merlin just after the first lockdown, having agreed to buy him a couple of months beforehand. And he was supposed to be for my now ex-husband, and he's a rare breed native fell pony, supposed to be 14 hands high, which is the biggest the breed allows. Technically, he's probably a little bit small for me, but there we are. He really likes me, so I've got him back. Now, he was collected when I was in Portugal on the Marathon Ready retreat. The transporter was in a large lorry, which would struggle to make it to the yard. So I had to give the driver directions to park just up the road from where I lived so we could offload him there, which technically means get him off the lorry, walk him down the ramp and put his stuff in my car. And I'd just walk him down to the yard and give him a bit of a leg stretch after his long journey all the way from Aberdeen. Now, he arrived just after 3 p.m. on a Monday and he looked a little bit dazed from his long journey. But he calmly strolled off the lorry and walked the short distance to the yard. And he went into his stable and started happily munching his hay. Now, the best thing is not to fuss too much and just let the horse and pony settle into their new surroundings. So I headed back off after giving him his feed and let him settle in. Now, he'd been living in Aberdeen, which is a different type of location to Cheshire, obviously, with different types of grass. And the one thing that I did learn from living in Scotland was that grass started growing a lot later up there, whereas in Cheshire, the grass grows a lot sooner and a lot lusher. And it's a different type of grass, and fell ponies are likely to get something called laminitis, which is the equine equivalent of diabetes, also not curable. And it can cause a lot of issues. So we had to limit his grazing to the afternoons when he first arrived, so there'd be less sugar in the grass. Unfortunately, he did then have a reaction to something in the environment. We're not quite sure what it was, but there is a lot of pollution in the area. Here, there's a lot of factories down in Cheshire, and there's also a couple of motorways. And where we were in Ayrshire, where I used to own him, we were kind of up a hill, and there was no pollution hardly at all. So he developed a runny nose and a bit of a cough. Now, it could also have been a reaction to the hay and pollen, or dust in the stable, and you have to kind of work out what the cause is and find a way to prevent it. So we started him on some antihistamine tablets, and also we started soaking his hay to remove any dust spores, because this will also reduce any sugar in the hay, which is also important for a native pony. Now, exercise is really important, especially if for anybody who's an asthmatic, myself included, because I suffer from asthma and also dust allergies. So I started lunging him the next day, just in a rope halter. Now, lunging is when a horse goes round you in a circle, and it helps with the bonding and trust, as when you work with a horse, you're building a relationship with them. So, and as being an asthmatic who is allergic to dust, when I first started running, I had a really bad issue with my breathing, but the more running that I'm doing, the better my breathing is becoming. So it'll be exactly the same for him. It's important that he does more. So I started lunging Merlin every day, and then we switched him to another paddock with less grass on so that he could go out for a full day. The farrier was there the next day to have a look at his feet so he knew what shoe size he would be. I wanted to give him a little bit of time to settle in before getting him shod so he was not having to cope with too many things at once. I then popped off to the local equine feed shop to get him a feed bucket, some feed, and he only needs a balancer, which is just to make sure he's getting all the vitamins and minerals that he needs. And I use something called Top Spec Light. It's one of the best ones, but there are other makes available. I also ordered him a new colourful turnout rug and a fly sheet to help stop his coat from getting so muddy and dirty, which will help with the allergy reactions. It's also important for you to brush your horse and pony regularly. It's a bit like getting a regular massage, and it's a good way to check for any lumps and bumps and cuts. And you're also checking for heat, which is a potential sign of potential injury. Now, I spent a few days lunging him, because I'd had actually really no idea of how much he'd done over the winter, or in fact last year at all. So I wanted to bring him back into work carefully and slowly to get a good level of fitness on him so I can take him for some fun rides, which are about 10 to 12 miles in the autumn, which is lots of cantering. So just like humans, he didn't need to do too much too soon because there's a likelihood of injury. Now, after a week, I popped on him and he was a bit tense, but he didn't really do anything naughty. Now, the last time I spent a lot of time hacking him out, which is on the roads or off road, and this strengthens his tendons and he really enjoyed getting out and about. And I took him out with our cob, Dominic. This time I'd been riding on my own. I wasn't really sure how he was going to be. There aren't really any other horses to ride with at the yard, so I'd have to ride him on my own, which is important as well. So then I got the yard farrier out to put a new set of shoes on him so I could ride him on the roads. And it turns out I do actually know the farrier from over 20 years ago. He used to be in our crowd of friends and go out with one of our crowd. So we recapped on some old times. And he's also friends with another farrier that used to shoe my old horse Red when I lived in Cheshire. So it's such a small equestrian world sometimes. I popped on Merlin in the school the next day and he was still really tense and did a mini rear, which to a non-equestrian person is when a horse goes up on its hind legs. This is not good, and it's a warning sign that something's not right and it shouldn't be ignored, as this behaviour can quickly escalate and you can end up with a problem horse or pony. Now, because I backed and rode Merlin myself, I knew that this was not normal behaviour for him. So you have to look at the reasons why this might have happened, and I was sure it was the saddle. And as I'm back in a new area, I've kind of lost touch with all my equestrian connections, so I don't have a good idea about who is good at saddle fitting and who isn't. But after speaking to a girl at my yard, who also has a native pony, so a similar type shape, she recommended someone who fitted a saddle to her pony. So I sent them a message through Facebook, explained what sort of pony I had, and arranged for her to come out and check his saddle and bring under some that might fit a bit better. She came out a few days later and confirmed my suspicions. The saddle did not fit at all. And she bought a Cavaletti saddle and we tried it on him. And he could immediately see that he was happy in it. There was no reaction when we put it on, no moving when we were trying to do the girth up, no face pulling. And I popped on and he didn't do anything naughty, but he still was a bit tense and reluctant to walk over the poles. But I was pretty sure that this was the right route to go down. So after discussion with the saddle fitter, I ordered a VSD saddle, which is very slightly dressage, and it means that it's got a straighter front panel rather than a rounded, it's like a flap. The GP, which is a general purpose saddle, has a more rounded flap, and the VSD is ideal for me because I'll be doing hacking and dressage mainly, and it also helps if you have got a slightly longer leg. We then also agreed a plan to work lunging Merlin over poles to try and build up strength in the side that he was weakest on, because what the saddle fitter did as well, she kind of put something over his withers so she could see where the muscle wastage is. And a bit like humans are left and right sided, horses are exactly the same. So it is really important to do like straight lines and hacking just to try and build up muscles evenly on both sides. So saddle paid for, there weren't any in stock. I had the order in and it'd be about 5 weeks. Wasn't great, but it would give me a chance to do some more groundwork with him. So I set about lunging him a few mornings a week over one or two poles and also walking him out in hand. And he was still being very silly and spooky, which was not like him. Although he was a little bit like this when I bought him, so I thought he'd maybe just need some time to settle in. Now, we have a Facebook Messenger group, and one of the girls posted that she was getting a back lady out, and did anyone want to be added to the list? Now, I used to get my old horses back jacked all the time when I was living in England, but in Ayrshire, it's not something that is done much. And also, I didn't really have much money when I was living up there either. So I added Merlin to the list, and the McTimony practitioner arrived a week later to do his back and assess him. There weren't really any major issues, just a few areas that needed improving. And I could see his pelvis was higher on one side than on the other. So the McTimony practitioner set about doing some equine massage of his shoulder then his tail and his hind legs, pulling them out backwards. And I could see she was really enjoying what she was doing. And she said, there are not many horses that you can work with like this. He is a bit like an overgrown Labrador. When she finished, his pelvis looked more normal. And I was to give him the day off. And then I was going to look at long reining him, which is walking behind him with two lunge lines attached. As I did this when I backed him, and it's not actually done as much as it should be anymore. Then I got a text to say my saddle had dispatched a few weeks earlier than expected, which I was really happy about. So I lunged him on the Saturday morning, and then on the Sunday I was able to ride in the new saddle, and I actually nearly cried as he felt amazing. He felt just like the last time I'd ridden him in his 5-star vetting, really relaxed and balanced and lovely. Now he's still a bit weak on the back end and needs to do a lot more hacking and hill work, but we have them around here, so hopefully that will help. So I also just wanted to write in this podcast and to explain the importance of making sure that you do have the right equipment for horses and that it fits properly. Now he has also destroyed 2 rugs this week, and that's something that horses just do sometimes. But rug 3, I've gone for a different type of connection under his tummy, which has a belly flap so that it goes over his ears, and also a face mask because he clearly is allergic to something, and that'll possibly help. So fingers crossed, it goes okay and he doesn't destroy any more rugs. And I got to thinking about how as people, we don't look at the way we are performing, for example, as me as a runner. And I don't really think about what running shoes I have and whether they're suitable for my shape, foot and how I run. We just go out and buy some trainers that we can either afford or we like the colour of. And I also don't have leg massages, which we probably should do because that's what we do with horses. Only the elite athletes seem to do that. Now, with horses, it can sometimes be one step forwards and 2 step backwards. And this certainly was the case with Merlin the next time I rode him. I was tacking him up in his stable and had not closed the door properly, and he managed to catch his nose on the door and cut it. It was my fault. He leans on the top of the door and causes the hinges to drop, so it's not easy to shut it properly. So I hadn't shut it, and I'd gone out and bought him a stall guard after that happened so that he could get out properly. And it's just easier just to pop in and out of the stable without having to shut the door because, as I say, I struggled to shut it because of the hinges. Now, I wanted to hack him out, but his cut wasn't too bad, so onwards and upwards off we went. I finished tacking him up, got on and headed out for a hack. We got out the gate, and then he started what's called napping, which means he planted himself, he wouldn't move. Then he went backwards, then he did a mini rear, then started spinning, at which point I decided it was too dangerous to continue, so I had to come up with a plan B. Now, it's important not to let horses get away with this sort of behaviour, or it will become the norm and you'll end up with a dangerous horse on your hands. So I hopped off and walked him up the road, and also walking was a good time for me to think about what I should do next. I then decided when I got back to the yard, I would pop him on lunge. So I did that and I tired him out a bit, and then I got back on and I hacked him out again. And this way, I'm installing the thought process that if he messes about, he ends up doing more work than expected, so he's disappointed not to be getting his breakfast when we got back to the stable. Instead, we went into the arena, I lunged him, and he cantered around a bit on both reins, and when I could see he was a bit tired, as I say, I popped back on him and took him out for a hack again, and this time he was a lot better. He was a bit hesitant, and he whinnied a few times, but I just chatted to him and then did some leg yielding from side to side on the road, which is a dressage move, and it's difficult to describe, but if you Google it if you want to know. And it's basically just to get him thinking about things other than what looking for something to spook at. And his ears then went back and he started to listen to me, which is what I need to be working on, getting his attention. After that, he was great. No silly spooks. He happily trotted up the hills, tried trotting downwards as well, and did some and got some nice treats as a reward after he'd been untacked, as well as his breakfast. I then had to get some cream for his cut, not having any chance to get any first aid supplies, but I had to borrow some from the yard owner before I went out and got some. And I also picked up some bandages and some liniment and some hibiscus already diluted, and some green Vaseline and some tea tree oil and a various amount of other things, just to make sure that I'm fully prepared just in case he gets any further injuries. Now, as I mentioned above, one day with horses, it's not so great, and the next time, they're brilliant. And I hacked out with a girl from the yard the next day, and we had a brilliant hack. Merlin was an absolute star, happy to go in front or behind, and whatever he wasn't sure about and wouldn't go past, her horse went past, and vice versa. Although Merlin did have a bit of a meltdown with a tractor, but I got him past. And considering neither of them had been that way hacking before and had never hacked out together, they did really, really well. So they were both brilliant, and we went down the bridle path with no issues. And, you know, so sometimes it can go well and sometimes it can't, but it's kind of like that really in any sport and also in my running. Sometimes when I run, I have a really, really good run. Sometimes when I run, I struggle with my breathing. I can't maybe go as fast. So you just kind of have to push yourself through it and keep going with any of your training. So that's the end of this week's podcast. I hope you enjoyed listening to it and maybe, you know, actually learnt a little bit about horses if you didn't know anything before. And look forward and hopefully you'll tune in to the next week's.